And I would invite you to take your Bibles with me and turn to John 19, the Gospel of John 19. To the Corinthians, Paul preached Christ crucified. In fact, he determined not to know anything among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So this morning from John 19, we will give our attention to Christ crucified. The theme of the cross and Christ crucified is threaded throughout the Gospel of John. Yet John does not focus on the physical sufferings of the cross, but rather the person of the cross, and that is Jesus Christ. In fact, John's summary explanation for writing this Gospel is this: these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. This morning, as we prepare ourselves to observe the Lord's table, we narrow our focus to John 19, verses 17 through 24, and then also verses 28 through 30. Let's pause for prayer, shall we? Lord God, this morning, our desire is to glory in the cross. Lord, I pray that you would arrest our attention and that you would give us a fresh picture of Christ crucified. Thank you, Lord, for the music that has just been played. I thank you, Lord, for the scripture that is opened before us. I thank you for the table that we will approach in just a moment. But God, I pray that your Spirit and your Word might grip our hearts with the wonder of Christ crucified. Thank you, Lord God, for the salvation that we have if we but believe that Jesus is the Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would govern our study now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At first glance, our text appears to be simply and straightforward, simply a record of Jesus' crucifixion. John 19, verse 17, and he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. And we read the text eagerly, looking for the end of the story, verse 30, where Jesus made that utterance marking his full sacrificial substitutionary death, it is finished. However, the details that John includes in this gospel record are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You see, John details specific fulfillment of prophecy in Christ's crucifixion to authenticate him as the promised Messiah. If you're following me in the notes that are given to you there in your bulletin, number one, the specific fulfillment of prophecy. The specific fulfillment of prophecy. You see, Jesus was not just a historical figure. Jesus was not just a good man. Jesus was not just a religious revolutionary. Jesus was the Christ, the promised Messiah, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecy and typology. And here from John's account, we can identify specific fulfillments of prophecy. I'd like to highlight six examples this morning. First, in John 19:17, the gospel reads, "And he, bearing his cross..." The Bible says that Jesus bore his own cross, letter A. Jesus bore his own cross. It was standard procedure for one condemned to death by crucifixion to carry his own cross to the place of execution. And the sight of a beaten and bloodied prisoner was a great deterrent to others who might want to rebel against Rome or might be inclined to crime. But here, Jesus also bore his own cross. And we know from the Synoptic Gospels that at some point along the way, a man from the crowd, Simon the Cyrene, was compelled to help Jesus carry the cross because Jesus was so physically weak from the beatings that he had suffered the night before, the scourging that he endured the night before. Nonetheless, Jesus bore his own cross. And that is a very specific allusion to Genesis 22, where Isaac, like Jesus, carried on his back the very wood that would be used in his own sacrifice, as Father Abraham laid upon Isaac the wood for the altar. Jesus bore his own cross. Second, in John 19:17, the Bible says that Jesus went out. The synoptic gospels say that Jesus was led away by the soldiers. And it was Isaiah who prophesied that the Messiah would go to his death like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. Now that is unique, for most prisoners were forcibly driven like cattle to their death. Commentator F.F. Bruce says, in stating that Jesus went out, John is emphasizing that Jesus is no reluctant victim, compelled to go whither he would not. He went with his executioners of his own volition. You see, Jesus was not a helpless victim driven against his will, but rather, John recorded Jesus' words in this very same gospel in John 10, verses 17 and 18, I lay down my life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. So I would suggest letter B, Jesus laid down his own life. Jesus laid down his own life. He bore his own cross. He laid down his own life. But alas, there is also great importance to the fact that Jesus went out. Letter C, Jesus died outside the city. Outside the city. Jesus was led out, or he went out to a place called the place of a skull. In Hebrew, Golgotha. In Latin, Calvary. The site, which resembles a skull there in the formation of the rocks, was outside the city. Another fulfillment of Old Testament typology. For according to Mosaic law, sin offerings were to be made outside of the camp of Israel. Exodus 29:14 says, the flesh of the bull you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. In Leviticus, the Bible says the sin offering the priest is to bring out to a clean place outside the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp. You say, Pastor Matt, you are making too much of these little things in John 19, verses 17 and verse 18 and such. That's just like a preacher to find all sorts of fulfillment and typology and meaning behind the text. Well, no. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews 13. The book of Hebrews makes the very same case. Hebrews 13. Beginning in verse number 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the whole priest for sin are burned where? Outside the camp. Verse 12. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered where? Outside the gate. Verse 13. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Jesus died outside the city. Back to John 19. Much could be made of Jesus' physical sufferings. In fact, much has been made of the physical horror of crucifixion. Dramatic productions and blockbuster movies have attempted to capture the gruesome details of Jesus' crucifixion. And to some degree, they have, and they've done well. But in John 19, verse 18, John simply says they crucified him. And that's all that was needed to be said. For in the mind of the Jewish reader, that statement was sufficient. And that statement was significant. For you see, earlier in John chapter 3, Jesus made a typological or a typological prediction of his own death. Jesus prophesied as to how he would die. Jesus said this, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that statement was a direct reference to the circumstances in Numbers 21 when snakes infested the camp of Israel and the Hebrew people became sick and died from the snake bites. So at God's instructions, Moses fashioned and crafted a bronze or a brass serpent, and he put it high on a pole in the midst of the camp. so that those who would look would live and not die from the snake bites. And then in John 8, verse 28, Jesus spoke of his death, saying, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he." In John 12, verse 32, Jesus declared, "And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. You see, all of these things make it very clear that Jesus would not be put to death by the Jews. For the Jewish form of capital punishment or execution was by stoning. And in stoning, you would throw a person down. But rather, Jesus was executed by Roman capital punishment. That's crucifixion, where he would be lifted up. We can rightly say, letter D, Jesus was lifted up. Jesus bore his own cross. Jesus laid down his own life. Jesus died outside the city. Letter D, Jesus was lifted up. Again, the text, "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull," which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, "where they crucified him. And two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center." Jesus wasn't crucified alone. There were two others with him. John's record here in John 19 is more than a simple eyewitness account of Jesus' crucifixion, for it tells us of another specific fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 53, verse 12, predicts that Messiah would be numbered with transgressors. That's letter E. Jesus was numbered with transgressors. Matthew's gospel tells us the two other men were robbers, yet Jesus wasn't a humiliated Christ dying with criminals. Rather, he was an exalted Christ fulfilling prophecy by dying with criminals. Jesus was numbered with transgressors. In verses 20 through 22, Jesus was mocked on the cross as they drafted a sign that read, "King of the Jews." But then in verse 23, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' Therefore the soldiers did these things." This is another specific fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament scripture, Psalm 22. I'd ask that you turn with me to Psalm 22. It's remarkable to me that David, who had no knowledge of Roman crucifixion, wrote such a vivid description of Christ's crucifixion centuries before it happened. Psalm 22, in verse number 1, is the very statement that Jesus cried out from the cross as recorded by Matthew and Mark in their Gospels. Psalm 22, verses 6, 7, and 8 describe the derision that was hurled at Jesus as he hung on the cross. Psalm 22, verses 14 and 15 explain the torment and exhaustion he suffered, specifically the unnatural position of his body that caused his bones to be out of joint and the stress upon his heart. Psalm 22, verse 16 speaks of the piercing nails through his hands and feet. Psalm 22, verses 17 and 18 prophesied the exact action of the soldiers around the cross, as we just read in John 19. And although unwittingly, the soldiers around the cross that day did these things in direct fulfillment of Scripture. Letter F, Jesus' garments were divided. You see, folks, the circumstances that occurred there around the cross were not random, but they were specific fulfillment of prophecy. And John recorded these things in his gospel that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised anointed one, and that believing you might have life in his name. Back to John 19. There are numerous other points of fulfilled prophecy and typology that we could explore. Depending on how you classify each one, there are dozens of specific fulfillments in the crucifixion event alone. There are hundreds of specific fulfilled prophecy in the life of Jesus Christ. And to get a sense of the probabilities involved in one man satisfying all of these Bible prophecies, author Josh McDowell calculated the odds of Jesus fulfilling only 8 of the messianic prophecies as this, as 1 out of 10 to the 17th power. That's 1 with 17 zeros after it. That is equivalent to covering the entire state of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet deep, marking one of them, and having a blindfolded person select the marked one at random the very first time. The point is that Jesus' crucifixion was not the injustice of an oppressive government against a good man. Jesus' crucifixion was the fulfillment of God's specific plan to save sinful man. And these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. First, the specific fulfillment of prophecy. Second, the supernatural knowledge of Jesus. The supernatural knowledge of Jesus. And again, I ask that you look at John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Jesus, in His omniscience, knew there was one more prophecy to be fulfilled. Jesus was omniscient. In His incarnation, Jesus did not lose His divine attributes. He simply set aside the exercise of them for a time. Don't think for a minute that Jesus lost His attributes in the incarnation. That is the ancient kenosis theory and the Nestorian heresy. If Jesus was anything less than the sum total of the divine attributes of God, He was less than God. Jesus, knowing all things, John 19, verse 28, said, "I thirst," prompting the soldiers to give Him a drink. And would you believe it? This also was a fulfillment of prophecy. I believe I've given you the scripture reference. I haven't. Perhaps you want to note Psalm 69:21. The psalmist wrote, "They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Folks, that is amazing. It wasn't just water, but the cheap wine that the soldiers commonly used. Matthew 27 says it was sour wine mingled with gall. The Old Testament Septuagint uses the very same Greek word translated sour wine as is here in verse 29. And then Jesus said, "It is finished." Matthew and Mark's gospel record that Jesus shouted, "It is finished," with a loud cry. And it was the shout of triumph, for Jesus knew that the work of redemption in His Father was given Him and it was accounted for. Satan was defeated. God's wrath was satisfied. Man's sin was forgiven. Christ was crucified. And these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. Sometimes we find it difficult. We find it difficult to consider the significance of the crucifixion. For so often our attention is captured by the physical events, the details, the suffering, the chronology, the happening. But know that the one who was crucified was God's Son, the promised Messiah, the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Know that Jesus is the Christ. It wasn't Jesus who was crucified. It was Jesus Christ who was crucified. It was Christ crucified. Let's pray, Lord. I pray that you would help us just now as we spend these next few moments carefully reflecting on your crucifixion. God, I pray that if there is one here this morning or under the sound of my voice who has not believed, who has not put their faith and trust in Christ crucified alone, that you would draw them to yourself and grant them the faith to accept you, to believe. Lord, for those that do name the name of Jesus Christ in salvation, I pray that these moments might be a meaningful time as we thank you for that sacrifice, as we remember. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.